Welcome back to the Raise Up Podcast. I'm Athena.
Hi, this is Charlie, sponsored by Monster.
Yeah, Monster is not sponsoring us, but
they're not.
Charlie said that if
I sponsor them, though, I spend a lot of money to them.
He sponsors them. Yeah, he said that if it's going to be real, he's going to have one
on the table. You guys always have a Monster.
So.
Or a Starbucks.
Until he doesn't. So it is what it is.
Monster, I'm looking for sponsorship. Can you help me out here, please?
So welcome back. And I did allude in the last episode that we were going to start talking about our airport business and all of the things that we have wrapped up within our local airport, which is basically
a huge part of our business. Huge.
Yeah. And it is like a little city within a city. And so, Charlie, you want to like start the story of how we started doing work for the airport?
You know, I think we kind of alluded to this in our first episode, but you know what? It was, I was at home. That's when I used to answer the phones 24 hours a day. And we would take turns taking the phone. And I remember being sick. It was like 2:33 in the morning. And I remember I got a call from World Airways and they're like, hi. I'm like, hi, Bach Transportation. How can I help you? It's like 3:30 in the morning. I'm like, who's needing a car this late? And I get this phone call and just basically ask us if we're interested in doing crew transportation. They were having a problem with their current vendor. And I said, well, I'd love to, but they usually go so cheap. And we talked back and forth and they told me what they were paying their last vendor. And I said, we'd love to help, you know, and we jumped involved and started doing it. And that's how kind of our crew transportation started, is we started with that. And then we went to the airport and, you know, working with the airport is an interesting business. It really is. It's like you are, I wouldn't say an outsider, but when you're not in the group itself and you're not well known within the airport region, it's tough to get work from them. It's got to be their idea or something else is happening. And I remember we started chasing after this business and started going after it. And there was a lot of other vendors that were well qualified. They already had their ramp access. They had their badges. They had all this stuff. So we had a lot of hoops to jump through to get through it. And we just kept persevering through it and going through and getting more and more. Then all of a sudden we chased after the Alaska Airlines contract and we weren't awarded with it at first, and then another vendor got it, and they ended up losing it. And
yeah,
we got
it
a phone call.
Didn't
work out for them, and then we picked up them, and then we started picking up more and more. Then we picked up FedEx, and we picked up other ones, and it just kept rolling. And then we would go to these meetings at the airport.
Security meetings,
airport operations meetings, mm-hmm. things that were just going on with the airport just so we could be more versed in the airport, what they do and what's going on. And we'd be asked, I mean, the airport even asked us at one time if we'd be willing to park airplanes because they needed somebody. I was like, well, we don't own any tugs. You know, how are we going to park airplanes? I was like, that's totally out of our thing. And she's like, oh, no, you just assign parking spots. But one of our partners in the airlines, that was their job. So we weren't trying to steal their work, you know, and really wasn't our lane. So we just stayed out of it. But, you know, as we were doing it, I want to say bags came after that. We started picking up more and more airlines. We have all the airlines at the airport except for like four or five.
Yeah.
Small vendors, smaller airlines that don't, are not as big. Sorry, I was losing my train of thought. We have a lot of the airlines there, probably about 95%. And then we were there and then they said, hey, you know, we're having a problem with our baggage claim delivery. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Can you tell me what that entails? And they said, well, we get these bags that unfortunately don't make the plane, or there's too much closeness between their plane from Seattle to Anchorage and their bag got left behind and that needs to get there. So we looked at that and looked at what that business concept looked like, and we took it on and bought vehicles for it and took care of it and had all these grand plans for it. And that's been now, what, shoot, like 7 or 8 years we've had that now, maybe even longer.
You know, I want to take us back to opportunities that just show up like that. Opportunity where you just answered the phone at World Airways, but there was another opportunity way back before we started doing a lot of this other work when a single mom called you for a prom car for her kid. Do you remember that?
No.
Trudy.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that was kind of that first, like one of the first introductions.
So if you know Trudy, she's the,
she's the deputy director of the airport.
Yes. Great lady.
She wasn't back then, but this is just an example of when you're willing to like step into this deposits. We didn't know she was an airport worker at the time. You were just doing something kind for a single mom who needed a limo for prom.
Sure.
And so go ahead. I want to hear that story.
I don't remember. That's why I didn't say it.
Oh.
So you're bringing it up to me. I apologize. But I mean, I love Trudy. Trudy's great. She has become a friend of ours. She's definitely a yes. great contact at the airport. Anything she asks us to do, or we experiment, or we are, you know, working with the airport so much that we are sometimes their beta program. And when I say their beta, is like when they're coming out with a new security system for badging or going onto the airport grounds, yeah. since we are one of the biggest vendors out there that has the most vehicles out there, we'll get called by Kristen or any of the team over there and say, hey, you know, we're getting this program started. Can you be willing to help us with that? And of course, we're always more than helpful because those are our partners. I mean, the airline is our partners out there, and the airport employees and all those other people are our partners too, all the way to the fire departments. And when we say supply motor coaches for the fire department and police to get their recertification every 2 years, and we take them down to Kenai. I mean, we have a great working relationship, even to the point where we have presidents and dignitaries that come up through the Lower 48, or they come from other countries, and we are part of the escort and security teams, and we get to run lights and sirens all over town, and they stop intersections. So our relationships at the airport are huge to us, and we've had booths downstairs in the airport grounds. We've had our own desks down there and shuttle services, and yeah, it's just been big.
You know, for somebody who's looking to gain business at the airport, really the start is, in most relationships, is you have to make some deposits before you can get some withdrawals.
We always talk about that in our other podcasts too, is like, you know, it's important to invest into what you're doing before you start asking for things.
Yeah. And really this lovely dance of reciprocation is really how business and relationships work. You do something nice for me, and I feel compelled to do something nice for you when you need help. And so it's like stepping into just being willing and being in the proximity. That's how we've really strengthened a lot of these relationships.
And it's not just so much favors. It's more just helping and holding that space for that company or what they're doing. It might be as simple as like when they're struggling, in baggage claim. I mean, there was a lot of struggle there, and they were feeling it all the way to the upper management yeah. level, and they were needing help with it. And they just wanted somebody that would comply and take care of things the way they wanted to do it. And we came alongside them and said, hey, I think we can make this happen. And you're our customer. You know, the customers that you support are your customers. We're supporting them.
Yeah.
So we need to do what you want us to do. And it's been really good there. And, you know, it's just led into more things, to the wheelchairs, the wheelchair ambassadors, to picking up more airlines, to airline diverts. I mean, the airline diverts are huge for us. I mean, any airline that seems to come into us with a distressed passenger or medical or a mechanical problem, you know, we help all those different people. We set up hotels, we set up food, we set up transportation, we set up medical if they need to go yep. somewhere. We've picked and taken people to the hospitals that have come up ill on the plane, whatever their needs are. And, you know, we are so integrated into the hotels and to the tourism area and to medical and stores and restaurants. I mean, having Sullivan stay open until 11 o'clock at night
to feed all those people off
that plane. To feed 327 people off the plane. And they were getting ready for a huge buffet the next day. We had them in perfect timing, and we shut down the entire restaurant and did 160 people at a time, and then rotated them out with the other people at the hotel, and just food and just the relationships that we have made all the way down to the people that make sandwiches for us.
Pepperoncinis.
Yes. Thank you. I was having a draw there. Main Event, another place. Both those people, you know, we'll call them up and say, hey, we need to do Main Event. Would be another good one is we need to do breakfast burritos for tomorrow morning. We'll call Kimberly and Bill at 10 o'clock at night, and they're scrambling to get, you know, 300 breakfast burritos made by 5 a.m. And they'll come out and deliver them themselves and put them on tables. And Pepperoncinis, I mean, you can't say enough about them. Those guys, we call them constantly, and they'll make up sandwich boxes and do vegetarian. They'll do peanut butter and jelly for kids.
Jason,
they'll do all that
and his
stuff.
Team so really, really have.
Jason Kimball's a great guy, another great guy.
Served in so many ways. And that's really like this ball of raising up the community, is it's like we have this community around us, but then we have the community that's our team, and we have the community at the airport, and we have our like larger transportation industry community.
Circles and within circles.
You and I are just like a bunch of like this everywhere.
And, you know, our hotel resident, you know, all the GMs of the hotels, the big ones here in town, you know, they know if I'm calling them at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's because we need something and we got something going on and we're going to take their inventory that night. We're going to take everything they have. And that means that they got to call in more staff. And it usually means that they're coming in at 2 o'clock in the morning because they don't have 16 people sitting at the front to give 320 rooms away. So, I mean, those are the things, the relationships, the when Athena's saying making deposit before withdraws, that's what I'm talking about. It's us working within their company to help them, which are helping us. And everybody's a winner. Everybody's a winner in those things. Yeah. So.
And we all have to kind of get in it sometimes and work a little harder when those bursts of busyness come. But starting with making deposits into these relationships is how you make inroads into these business streams. And joining your local ACVB, ours is called Visit Anchorage. That's how
ACVB.
Yeah. That's how you like meet these hoteliers and these hospitality people, and you start doing things with them, and then you start doing smaller pieces of business with them. And but getting back to the airport, like easy, low-hanging fruit to just start meeting people at your local airport is go to the security meeting. If you're doing transports at the airport and you've got an airport permit or you've got something going on there, you are eligible in most cases to go to a safety briefing every month and meet the different station managers that attend that.
So think of yourself as your own business or your own employees or whatever you have going on, and you're having a problem with this vendor, and this vendor shows up all the time at these different places and he can help you with that. We're looking for the best resource to take care of the situation or easiest the problem that we're looking at. And we want to get it taken care of. And if we have a person that's trusted and it's well known and it's puts time into it, it's much easier to do that than it is to go with the unknown. And that's what I feel like that we get from the airport is we're pretty well known there. And they know that we are owners and we're hands-on. We're very hands-on. Every one of those managers can call us at any time and we'll talk to them and walk them through something or help them with it. Or they have these problems that they'll need help with. And you know, easy enough is I'll take Polar Atlas for some reason. They were doing a function with kids and they needed some transport to transport some kids around the airport to show them what it could be for them is growing up to become a pilot or load master or whatever else it might be. But they would call us as their partner and say, hey, you know, can we get a 12 passenger van out here to just take some kids around to show them what the airport looks like and stuff. And of course they're our partners, so we'll take care of it. You know, that's a no brainer. That's an easy one for us. You know, it's the partnership that I love. I love that they can call us anytime we can ask for something or they can ask for something and we'll help them out. It was even as much as TJ when he was working for another company, he couldn't get masks during COVID. And we had a plummet of mask because we were in the EMS field. So we were able to get some.
Buying everything.
Yeah, we were buying everything we could. Yeah, because we wanted to make sure because we were dealing with so many vulnerable people that we wanted to make sure that they were okay. So it's the partnerships of them calling up saying, hey, we can't get this as resources. Can we get some from you guys? And we gladly gave him some. We gave him what we could to get him by and his team. So,
and it's really the spirit of community-mindedness and helpfulness. And if you are in a space right now where you are thinking that you have to keep it all close and you can't trust this person, you can't trust that person, I would just encourage you to step out in faith that there is at least one person that you can start this beginning of a community, because you will discover that there are so many more members around you that could be in your community and you could start to trust them and just grow this spirit of community.
So. You know, Athena was talking about Visit Anchorage and ACVBs and things like that you can do in your own locals. Find out what your target audience is and what you're looking for in businesses. And another thing I learned a long time ago is if you're looking for a target group or whatever, find out what they're interested in and then maybe join some of those groups and become a member of them or be a volunteer for them. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that we did is I used to be on 7 boards of directors. And I was president of one, and then I was on different ones that I was on the board of directors or I was on the executive board. But, you know, those are great ways to meet other community members. And when I was ever there, I never sold anything. I never tried to sell my company. Yeah. I never tried to sell me. I never did that. But people get to know you, and they'll ask you. They got a kid's prom or birthday coming up, and then that's your opportunity to highlight your business and talk about it and be able to sell things to other people. But the thing about it is just, you know, some people get there and they're like, hey, I need you to use me or use me. And I've made that mistake before. I remember Tongi was at Sheraton and I was like, hey, what are you using this company for? Why aren't you using us? And that was my skull group. And, you know, I was going in there and I was kind of going in hot and heavy. And I thought, you know what? This is not what people want. They want to come here and decompress and they want to have fun when they go to these things. They don't want to talk about business. And they do, let them bring it up to you. And if they do bring it up to you, that's your opportunity. You know, don't ever try to sell yourself hard. No, don't do any hard sells.
Well, and I think Skull actually has a fine if you talk about business at Skull. So
yeah,
you
I think everybody talks about businesses, but I was just joining. I was a recruit. I wasn't even a full member then. You know, I was just a recruit, and I was trying to get to know all these great industry heroes. You know, all these guys that were just big in the industries. Mark Elias, and you know, he was a big one in our industry. That was a big one. You got Julie Soppy and you got all these other people from, you know, Premier and all these other great companies that were all there and hoteliers and stuff like that. But listen, if there's a problem and they see a problem at their place and they think they have a solution because they know somebody, that's what we do. Same thing we do. If we know that we have a problem with something, we call one of the people that we know that can fix the solution and we have a telephone number for them. And if we don't, then I could call Scott. If Scott doesn't have it, I can call somebody else. Yep. I mean, we all have a network of different people that we can call that we can get things there. Paul Landis is another person that I could call and get a phone number from for somebody else at the Alaska Airlines Center or something like that. I mean, we all have this network of people that we work with. And you drop a name or say, hey, you know, Paul sent me to this or Scott sent me this or Tina sent me to this or Trudy sent me to this. You're putting a name behind it and those people usually vouch for you or we wouldn't use their name.
Right, right. You know, you mentioned serving on the boards and I would say that it's just bigger than just serving to like help an organization. Like one of the you serving on the challenge board was probably one of the most inspirational seasons of your leadership for me and just kind of watching you navigate how you were helping that organization because board members are volunteers and not all of them have leadership experience. And I believe that each person wants to do what they believe is right, but sometimes it's not always right for the entire organization as a business. And even as a nonprofit, you have to make business decisions in order to keep the organization on a growth track. And
yeah, that was the toughest thing. I remember walking in there and saying, well, we usually lose about $200,000 on this event. And I'm like, what? $200,000? Why are we still doing it? You know, because I was new. I was like, why would you lose money and keep doing this?
This doesn't make any sense.
This makes no sense. She goes, well, Charlie, nonprofits are not supposed to make money. I'm like, are you kidding me? The top 500 companies are probably nonprofits and they all make money. They just somehow shuttle it out one way or another. We don't have to be unprofitable. We just, that makes zero sense to me. And I remember looking at that and they all looked at me like I was crazy. And there wasn't a lot of business owners on there. There was a lot of people that work for the state or hotels or places
they had
there.
Children or family members 100% with developmental disabilities.
Yeah. They had some kind of disability that they brought into it and they were great. And that's what I love about boards is there's such a wide variety of people on boards that they definitely make the full circle.
You know, that season of you on that board and how you like gently walked the board through the acquisition of the property and some of the personnel obstacles that had come up. Like, I just appreciated you in that moment where you stood firm on your beliefs and what was right. And you were like, hey, this is the right thing to do. And I need an answer from you guys on what direction we're going to head. And they did a vote and you were like, the vote in your eyes wasn't the right thing to do. It wasn't the kind thing. It wasn't the ethical thing. It wasn't the best for the organization. And you took a stand and that changed the course of what would happen.
Well, I mean, you have to believe in what you're believing in. And you're right. It's a volunteer board and there's a lot of good things and we were on a great trajectory and some of the board wanted to go to a different direction. And, you know, I just felt like that wasn't the direction I wanted to go. And I appreciate what they wanted to do. And I was going to step aside. I was going to let somebody else run it because I didn't believe what the beliefs I had. And, you know, I don't know if it was just me. I think there were several other people. I want to go back to the acquisition. There were so many people that were on that acquisition that were had years upon years of putting in there. And it just has to be under my presidency when I was on it that we finally got the go ahead. And then actually, when I stepped down from president and Nate took over as president, that's when the acquisition really happened. And it was everybody. It was a village that made that happen. Beth Edmonds, I'm going to put mostly on her. She was just so big into making that happen that she just was very vigilant, and she did a great job. She was our executive director, CEO, and she was a great person to work with. And it was easy. With Beth, it was easy. Her and I understood each other, and we were really a good team, and we had a great board of directors. We had a lot of good people that just wanted to see good things there. And we had some people that were from the founders that were on that board.
Yeah.
And just, you know, a lot of passionate in there. And when I say passionate, it's when you have a kid that's disabled or has a mental disability or has a physical disability. This was a program for all of them.
Yeah.
And they looked forward to it. In fact, we have a friend that was just entered into the program. We had one of our friends that was an employee of them, and she was, unfortunately, was she stabbed or shot or whatever else is, and she ended up in a wheelchair, and she is now, you know, it has devastated her life into a point where she was a very active lady and she was doing stuff all over, and she had met challenge people, and she's now skiing.
She's in a group and they're teaching her how to be mobile.
She
be mobile again.
Just lit up like a Christmas tree. And it's just so neat to see these people that were just, that were a tragic thing happened to their life where it made them now they're in a wheelchair or they're in crutches or something else has happened to them, or a TBI, a traumatic brain injury or something. Mm-hmm. And they're still having their best life. So
yeah.
that was the fun thing about being on that board and other boards, AADC, Visit Anchorage, the Smith Foundation, all the different boards I've been on, they've all had a great meaning and something behind it.
Well, and like to just move back to that is it's like, you think that you're just out there serving and spending some time and helping out, but really, like, for me to see you serve in those lights for those sensitive things, like, that
was...
Are
you saying I need to get back on another board?
No. I'm just saying that there, I appreciated that season of your life, whether you felt it from me or not. As your wife and as your business partner, you were setting this example of doing the right thing and staying committed to an organization, even when there was seasons of perseverance. And I really feel like that is those seasons of your life and those boards were the times where you really just amplified this core value of Raise Up, because it's really where you lived it out.
Well, you know, and I'm going to say, and we're brutally honest about things, is that, you know, I was getting on some of these things to get known, to know people, to get into there. But once you got involved into it, we really figured out it wasn't about ourselves.
Yeah.
It wasn't about our company. It's how we're going to make the industry itself get bigger. I'll take Visit Anchorage. When I was first started, it was ACVB, but there was a bigger cause there. We were promoting tourism. We were promoting jobs for tourism. We were promoting tourism money through the legislators. There was so much that we were doing and how we could affect all the hoteliers and all the people that we were working with. The bed tax, everything that really rung into the city and our industry, and that was huge. And I thought, wow, this is way bigger than what I thought it was and when I was getting into it. And then, you know, some of the other boards that you were on, you just really had some real big satisfactions of seeing some of these things. So I enjoyed it. But to be brutally honest, you know, somebody told me, he says, hey, if you're going to be a business leader in this town, you need to start giving back and you need to start doing this stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, you get on one board and everybody else wants you to be on their board. And you're like, oh yeah, shoot, I'll be on that board. And all of a sudden you got zero time. You're like, what is going on in my life? You know? And then, so there's a balance. There's definitely a work-life balance. And seven boards was way too much at one time. So yeah. Now
well, some only met like this much time. And really with you being on all those boards, that meant that I was on zero boards. Like I wasn't doing a lot of community service because I had to like keep the front going on the other corners. So there is that too, that, but I think that you hit it when you first start in business. I remember just even my first business in my 20s, like you don't think about this bigger picture of everybody else around you. And then as you start to grow up in maturity, you realize that, oh my gosh, I'm a part of this ecosystem. I'm a part of this community. And I actually want to do things and to grow in my connection, because then I can learn and also be a teacher and help others. And that's really like the mantra of kind of our life now.
Yeah.
is we spend a lot of time. Like, I think, honestly, you probably spend a solid 2 hours on most days just helping people, giving them advice, setting them up with the guy that does this, or like pointing them in the right direction, or just talking them off the cliff. And that is something that that's a very generous thing to do.
Well, you know, it's just, well, I've ingrained, but I always like to help people. So, I mean, if I have the knowledge and I can help somebody, I want to help them out and get them past that season. You know, it's, again, it's just one of those things that we all don't have the answers, but between all of us, we probably have a answer. And that's what it takes sometimes. It takes a few people to talk to you. And there's other friends that have had traumatic things that happened in their life and with their businesses, you know, and just walking somebody through it and tell them it's going to be okay. I mean, that's one of the biggest things is just let them know, hey, we always get through this. It's our own mind that tells us that we're not going to get through it. And we start bringing ourselves down and we realize that you need to be around more positive people that say, hey, yeah, we're going to get through this and don't worry about it. You know, whatever happens, happens, but we're going to make it through it. And that's one of the bigger things that we have to look at.
And I think that we do a lot of things before we know how we're going to get it totally done. Like, we don't trip over the house so much as we're just like, well, we know we're going to change this process 3 more times. So let's just keep working the puzzle and keep moving forward and running the experiment.
It's like lots of potholes. And then all of a sudden we're just not hitting potholes anymore, you know? So,
well, you know, that kind of brings me to back to the airport business. And when we were entertaining the possibility of doing wheelchair special request services.
SSRs.
Yes. And I was like jumping out of my skin when I thought about this, because we'll talk about, is this our lane? And really.
So we were doing wheelchair service before this for BAC, which turned into AMT, Alaska Medical Transport. So we were already doing wheelchair services, but nothing in this magnitude.
Right. Well, and it was in a van. Like, we were picking up people in a wheelchair and taking them to an appointment and then bringing them back home. But this one was, hey, would you be willing to help us get from the gate to the ticket counter or the parking place? It's just doing it inside a building.
Yeah.
And so we thought, man, this seems easier than just doing van service. We don't even have to get a van. We just need the wheelchair.
Shoot, the wheelchairs are damn near as much as the vans are these days. I mean, the wheelchairs are $1,000 a piece plus shipping plus everywhere else. I mean, it was crazy to get into this. But you're right. You know, it was a good move for us. It was a good move.
You know, what I was excited about is this was the first time in our business where we could offer this position to young people and to start fanning the love of airport and the love of transportation and stepping into a piece where we're a first-time employer, because we could hire people contractually as young as 16 to provide wheelchair services.
You know, and that was a great opportunity. As Athena was saying, it was a great opportunity to bring a younger group in there that couldn't work for us at the shops or DGMs or things like that because they were too young. They couldn't operate pressure washers. They couldn't do this stuff. So this was a good job that was in a safe environment. And when I say safe environment, they weren't working at McDonald's. They weren't working at Taco Bell. Not like any of those things are bad.
They're not unsafe.
It's not they're unsafe, but they're in a secure area. It has their own police. It has their own fire department. It has secure access to get in and out of the buildings. They're already working with some people that might have some mobility challenges or some SSRs stand for special service requests. And it could be from a person that could be blind that just needs help getting to the gate. It could be a person that has mentally impaired, or it could be a person that has no mobility in their legs, or they can't walk, or an elderly person.
It's like a
catch-all.
Yes.
It's a catch-all.
So anybody who needs help navigating through an airport with some kind of assistance can request this, and it's absolutely free.
Yeah, the airlines take care of it. And, you know, when you look at your airline cost, you look at that, you got to imagine how many transfers we do in a day. And on a good summer day, we could do 200-300 transfers easy on a good summer day. And that's transporting all those people and the logistics of doing that and radios and tablets and scanning people's badges. I mean, it was just a really huge deal. And I remember the day that we started the contract, I was down there. We had all of our wheelchairs come in, and then Alaska Airlines was gracious and let us store them on their property and put them down there, and we had them downstairs, and I was unraveling them, and then our other vendor decided not to work their last 2 or 3 hours, so we had everybody scheduled to come in at like 11 o'clock for a 12:01 a.m. start time, and I remember I remember some of the CSAs came up to me and says, we don't have anybody to push these wheelchairs. And I am, man, I am pushing 2-3 wheelchairs at a time. And I'm,
which is not how we do things now. Was him making it happen for that
calling
moment.
Employees and saying, get down here. We're going to start earlier. And we started this thing. And it was just like, it was a just a horse race in the very beginning. It was like, go. And the gun went off. We were running like crazy and we learned it. And, you know, and we worked with them and they worked with us and we were a new vendor to it. And We really put a lot of time and passion. We had a lot of management team down there and we got some great managers down there now to run the program. And shoot, we have how many people are at the airport now? 60,
we
70?
Hover at about 60 strong on that team. And
that's
this
year
is,
round. And then this summer we'll hire another 20 or 30 people to work at that position.
Probably a little more.
And I want to tell you what's really great about that. I'm going to bring a person's name up is Jimmy Opinski. John was my roommate in college and his wife is Kathy and just a great family. And Jimmy was looking for a job and we brought him on and he just, him and some of the other kids that worked from West High School and some other people that we had just amazing ambassadors. And, you know, Jimmy came, we have lost a lot of ours. And I say lost, they've
grown up and they've moved on to the
other
next
positions
things.
With other positions at the airport. So, I mean, Jimmy wanted to become a pilot. And so he was taking pilot programs, but he took a job as a CSA with Alaska Airlines So he can get in their pilot program and move forward. And we've had some other DGMs go to other places within the airlines because other opportunities open up for him. And this is a great start out position for him. This was a great place for them to start out to get their feet wet. Like we did, like we got in doing crew transportation and then found other opportunities inside there. And we never want to hold anybody back. If somebody wants to find, when I say a better position, something that's going to move
something
them up.
Something more fulfilling.
Or maybe more money or something else that's going to bring their family to the next level. We always encourage that. I mean, there's always encouragement in that, just like our medics and the EMTs, you know, some of them want to become firefighters and paramedics on a department and they don't want to work PAS, private ambulance service. So they have an opportunity to get experience from us to be able to get on these departments. And we encourage that. We've had lots of people gone on AFD and some people have made Wasilla and some other places in the different departments. And we like that. So the same with our airport crew. This is a good opportunity for them to meet other people and see if they want to get in to be a pilot or if they want to be a mechanic or if they want to be something else.
Yeah, they get their foot in the door. They learn what it means to have a schedule, how to clock in on our,
how
on
to
our
go
cloud
through
time clock. Training on how to get through the secured doors. What are the responsibilities and rules when you're working on the secured side of the airport? Like, it's kind of cool. It's this new experience, and we take the responsibility of being a first-time employer very seriously. It's not just, hey, BAC is going to show up and pick you up for prom, but now we're there for the first time that your first job, and we're there when you are on your way to your honeymoon and we're taking you in a black car or a limo to the airport or picking you up. Or we're there volunteering a bus for your kid's soccer team, whatever, jamboree. And it's like we get these opportunities to just touch the community in all of these different ways. And the ambassador team, and I call them the ambassador, they're not called ambassadors anywhere else in the world. That was just a title that I decided I wanted them to understand the premise of their job, which is access ambassador. And so what that means to me is they're helping give people access in a very real, needed way. And they're also an ambassador to the community and the airport and to our state, because we are a heavy tourism state. And they're the first person that will often be seen and the last person when somebody leaves. And it's just beautiful to see how some of these stories of these clients that these younger individuals have worked for, taking them from point A to point B within the airport, that has just impacted them so
yeah,
so
they
much.
Have lots of stories.
Lots of stories, especially during meeting days when we have department meetings and we ask what a highlight was. Almost always, it's not a, hey, I had this happen at home last week. It's, I was helping this person and this happened and I was able to do this and it felt really good to just be a part of that story of helping somebody that day.
So if you have any kids that are getting ready to turn 16 or they're that 16 to 18 or 21 year old, or even if you have some grandparents that'll look into get some steps in. This is a great company to go work for and do that for. And I'll tell you what, my first week, I think I was averaging 20,000 steps doing wheelchair ambassador work. In fact, I think I dropped like 15, 20 pounds the first week or two because we were working so fast and so hard that we were doing it that you just got an enormous amount of steps in a warm environment.
Yeah. And you know, they have these big sun, they have these big windows in the sea concourse. And so when the sun is shining, it's this bright lights and you're walking and you're feeling good and your blood is pumping. And Charlie has a sense of urgency that most people don't have, so he's usually hustling everywhere and doing whatever. But the rest of the team is safely just pushing their chair to
everybody's
the different
safely working. I just hustle a little bit more.
Yeah,
so. That's just me. But you know, the airport was great, and that led into us be able to do jetway pickups too. One of the things that we could do at our company is that we can drive out to the airport and pick you right up at your airplane. So we have a black car waiting right at the bottom of the stairs where they bring the wheelchairs up and bring the strollers and all that other stuff. You know, that was another relationship avenue that we had with the airport, and that was working with the airlines. It was working with John Parrott, our previous airport manager. It was a great gentleman, great guy. Good mentor. He was on Visit Anchorage board too. And, you know, it's just a really interesting way to be able to pick up people. They had all these VIPs coming in and they would usually ask for the airport staff to be there to go direct them and do this stuff. And we already had a lot of the clearances. So it was just one more clearance that we had too. So it made sense. And then you look at the baggage claim that we do the wheelchair services, we do the airport diverts. We also do the crew transportation. Am I living on anything? Shoot, we had to plow part of the airport one time because they had darn snow that we couldn't get our airport buses in there. And the guy from the airport maintenance is like, Charlie, if you got a plow truck, come down here and start plowing. So I went down there with my plow truck and I started plowing out an area for our motor coaches to pull up and do it. And then that was our snow apocalypse. So it wasn't this year. This year was horrible too, but it was another bad year. And I remember having to plow the Marriott too downtown so we could get our buses in.
Well, it was
because there was 2 feet of snow and nobody could get anywhere. And we had an airline divert. So, I mean, it's just partnering with all these different people to make sure that the trip happens. And there's a lot of behind the scenes that you don't understand how much work we really have behind these. People just come out and they're like, wow, we're the only street that got plowed. And look at this. We're the only street got plowed all the way to the airport. And I'm in the plow truck and trying to push the snow there. And people are looking at me like, what are you doing?
Yeah, so, this isn't your job. Or this isn't, you know, and it's really...
It is our job to get them to and from. Yeah. And at the point, there was nobody there to do it. So we make it happen.
Yeah, and sometimes we have to ask for forgiveness later.
Yeah, I don't ask for too much for forgiveness, but I just make it happen. Make it happen. And the company does, and the employees do. And, you know, we have a lot of great employees, you know, Junior ZB. I mean, we have all these great employees that do so much work for us. Amy in our marketing department. I mean, in our HR department, our accounting department. I mean, it really takes a team. And we have a good team. Sarah works with our CSAs. I mean, we have so many people that are dedicated. And what I was going to really bring up is that we're having second generations now working for us.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And third generations. We have,
way older than we thought we were.
Yes. So we have employees that have worked for us. And I'm going to take ZB. ZB's worked for us for a long, long time. ZB is one of our longest CDL drivers we had. And his daughter, Izzy, came to work for us when she was like 15.
Doing DGM work.
Yeah. And she did DGM, and then all of a sudden she applied for the job for the state troopers, and she got a job with the state trooper. She's not a trooper, but she works in the trooper investigation area, wherever else it is. And she has this great job now. And Izzy was like our girl. And I remember always saying, I was like, Izzy for college. She goes, Izzy for free choice, you know, and she just always had this personality, but she was very closed up when we first got her. And then she very became comfortable and, you know, she's doing well now. And ZB has so many kids. I'm sure some of his other kids will come work for us at some time. And then we have Junior and his wife. They both work for us.
Yeah, and they've had a couple of kids college. And
we've had some other CSAs that their kids have worked for us. And, you know, I love my fire department people and my EMS people. We've had some of their people come. And then we've actually had some CEOs of hospitals and other places that said, hey, I'm looking for a good environment for my kids to work in. And I know the airport there, do you hire 15, 16-year-olds? And we say 16, and they're like, oh, my daughter just turned 17, and why don't you ever put in an application? So it's neat to see our friends putting their kids to work for us, too. And that is just such a great place for them to do it, you know, because they feel safe that they're at the airport. They're not somewhere that they feel that they are not in a secure place, you know. And we have an amazing police and fire department at the airport, and they do great.
something that just resonates with me when you're saying that is it's you make these deposits and you earn the trust of the people around you. And that's something that we just don't take for granted, is the trust that we've earned by showing up in these spaces to where they trust us with their children.
I was just going to say the same thing. They're trusting us with
their most precious possessions. Yes.
Their possessions. And they know that we're going to stick up for them. We're going to be out there for them. We're going to take care of them.
And we're going, if something's not going quite right, like we're going to step in and that's the same redirect with our vendors. That's the same with our customers. Like they can count on us. Like everything can go absolutely right all the time. And then something happened and it's like, how are you going to handle that one time? And that's really where the tire hits the road with us is what's going to happen when things don't always go quite as expected. Especially in logistics, that's almost a given.
Especially with the airport. Yeah. If everything showed up on time, things would be so much easier. But, yes, you know, just like scheduling. Anything else, everything gets delayed because of weather. Everything gets delayed because of crew transfers. They have to take somebody off the plane. They have to do whatever it is.
Unexpected.
Breakdowns, whatever else happens. So we have to be willing to be so flexible in our schedule to be able to meet the demands that they do. And that is a very rough thing for some people. Some people have to have it A, B, C, D, E. And sometimes we go from A to W
and we're
looking, where's B and C, you know, or how do we go back to this? And, you know, and then all of a sudden, oh, hey, that flight's coming in now that the weather, you know, it's not 50 below in Fairbanks and we can fly now. So we have three planes coming in. We're like, oh, you know, look at these were expected 4 hours ago. Okay, now we got to come up with more staff. So how do we do that? And then the same thing we have to do with the crew transportation. We're always constantly reworking the puzzle.
Yeah.
I always say it's a big, big game of Jenga, and we're always trying to put the places back in and how we can do it. And you know, what I love about Alaska Airlines, they have taught us so much, and they've been one of the biggest people for us as their OPL meetings. When they do their OPL meetings, they have a meeting in the mornings that talks about everything that's going on through the day. And then we're there because we're part of their crew, and we're part of their transportation, we're part of their bags. So we're a
good support for them.
A good support, but listening to them and doing it. I remember one day they were doing they were looking for placements and they were looking where to put an airplane because the airplane was coming in. I'm like, well, what about there at C7? You know, it looks like there's a gap between there. And everybody looked at me and goes, Charlie, how did you find that? I'm like, well, shoot, we've been going to these OPL meetings for 3 years now.
Graphs.
So we can read your graphs now. And he's like, yeah, that'll work. We're perfect at C7, you know, and we'll just redirect this one over here. And I'll never forget, Wes came over and he goes, that was so funny that you caught that. And I was like, well, you know, I just look at your guys' diagram all the time because we tried to mirror ourselves off our partner. Because they're way bigger than we are and they have a lot to offer us. And that's the nuggets that we took away from them. Going back to our nuggets, you know, we're always looking for the nugget.
Well, I would say that the airport business is not just revenue. It's a treasured piece of business that connects us to the community in a powerful way. And from the younger members of our team all the way to I mean, the airport touches just about every team member within the organization. And it's been a blessing. And it's something that I have learned so much in my leadership and in business, just being a part of that piece of work. And I'm just very grateful. And I'm grateful for the community members who trust us to be a first-time employer for their family, because it's not just about the kid. It's also about... Mom is so happy. Like, I remember one particular time where we had a new team member. This was their first job, and their mother used to work for us, and she had a baby, and so she was staying at home with the baby now. But she was bringing her other daughter in for the first time, and she's like crying in the parking lot. She's like, "My baby's growing up," and I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for the trust the community has given us and the opportunities that we have to just build resilience and these core values of Raise Up into our own community and into the futures of the people around us.
Well, I can tell you that we're 24 years into this, almost 25, and hearing people when I see them out in public and they're like, I did my prom in your limo, and now I'm sending my kid in your prom. And that's the interesting things to hear. It's that we're hitting that second generation of people coming through, and they're they got a limo when they were 16 and now they're 23 and they have a 17-year-old, which makes them 40. And they're calling us because their experience in our limo was still resonating in their head and they liked it. And then they're looking for jobs and they're looking for something else. And we're a great second part-time job for people. So if they're looking for positions that they have a couple days a week, they're looking to make some extra income. We have driver positions. We have all kinds of different positions. Yeah. BACjobs.com. You can look at that.
Yeah, you really can. We have full-time. We have, it's just like, as we have grown in our flexibility and the needs of our customer, like we realized that in order to like make this whole thing work, we have to be flexible with our team as well. And so there are some people that just work one or two days a week, or there's a couple of them that are just on call when we need something, we call them, and if they can do it, great.
But yeah. You know, we have so many of those people. I mean, Carl's a great answer.
Yeah. And so being in this industry and being an entrepreneur has really like opened my eyes to how much I enjoy variety.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely not for everybody, but I know it's for us and I'm grateful.
Yeah, we're great for all those people. I mean, there's a lot of great people. Rochelle, the Captain Cook, huge part, you know.
All of our hotelier friends, for sure.
Brandon at the Marriott. I mean, we just have some great people that we work with that usually they don't ever say no. I mean, they're really accommodating. They make things happen for us.
Well, you know, and it's not really about saying no. It's like they have the similar mindset on what can we do? What can we do? And that just makes all the difference when you are just working to support whatever's happening that's positive within the community and within the region. So.
Yeah, Swissport, Pegasus, all those guys. I mean, they were our competitors at one point and became our partners. And that was a really big thing for us. I mean, when we got the FedEx contract, it was from Pegasus. And yeah. Pegasus called us and said, hey, we just took on too much more than we wanted. And we thought we wanted to be in this. And Joe Zirk was a good mentor in this. And he was really just like, hey, you know, how can we partner up? How can we do these things? And he was easy to work with. And I still talk to Joe still. I mean, now we're 17, 18 years later. And, you know, Joe's really grown that company. And
yeah.
And same thing with Swissport. I mean, when Marty was there, I mean, we had so much gains and strides with them. And we partnered up with them and took care of their stuff that they needed help with that they didn't want to do.
Well, and really, I think that one of the things that we learned in business was that we need to stay in our lane. And when we go outside of our lane, it kind of distracts us away from the main focus. And then we start doing a bunch of things kind of okay instead of one main thing really well. And that has been something that we've stayed in our lane. However, there's other people that haven't necessarily stayed in their lane and they've realized, oh, wait, we don't want to have this excellent service over here that we're known for and then have something outside our lane that we're falling down on because it's not our lane. And then it puts a black eye on the other service.
So when our lanes is logistics and transportation, yes, basically, yes. And that's what our lanes are. So people, transportation, wheelchairs, vehicles, ambulances.
If it's transporting and logistics, that's kind of the lane, but yeah.
Bags.
Yeah. That's still transporting and logistics.
Transporting. Yeah. So.
Well, we're so grateful that you guys joined us for this episode, and we hope that you were encouraged to step out and to either look for some different avenues at your local airports or step into something new or a little light bulb somewhere for you. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, so, any questions, send us some comments, ask us what we can do. Sir, something that we can do to help you. That's what our goal is.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could join us you could submit some questions on our Facebook page or private message us. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you.
Bye.